Next is the offenders portion of the meeting here.
You're switching off.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hey, how are you?
First offender, I believe, is Patrick Johnson.
Patrick Johnson? Yes.
Patrick Johnson?
We see him. He's present. Move to the next one. Three of the board continue.
Oh, really?
Is Mr. Patrick Johnson in the room? Patrick Johnson is not with us today.
All right.
He has been summoned to appear before the commission today, and he's not present. It's up to the commission to decide whether or not to hear this case in his absence or not.
You need a motion? I'd move to go ahead and hear the case if we are here.
Second. Everyone agree to hear the case? I see heads nodding. By consensus, the commission will move forward with this case.
Right. Mr. Patrick Johnson first appeared before the commission as a natural resource offender during the March 2016 commission meeting. The commission.
Stephanie, would you speak up just a little bit, please?
Sorry.
Thank you.
Mr. Johnson first appeared before the commission as a natural resource offender during the March 26th commission meeting. The commission decided to revoke his licenses and privileges under Section 28.2232 of the Code for 1 year, March 22nd, 2016 through March 21st, 2017, followed by 1 year's probation, March 22nd, 2017 through March 21st, 2018, owing to 4 uncalled crab violations.
Officer Reedy, please come forward. Let me swear you in. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God? Please step in front of the microphone. Please tell us what you know about this case.
All right. This one's a little long, but it is for the 8 charges. The first one's the fishing without the required license, and then the following 7. These offenses occurred on Saturday, June 11, 2016, in Accomack County. MPO David Drummond received information that Patrick J. Johnson and his 16-year-old son were seen towards the head of Gargant the Creek setting crab pots. On Monday, June 13, 2016, I conducted surveillance on the location with negative contact. I did observe the crab pots. They just hadn't fished them at that time. On Tuesday, June 14, 2016, Officer Drummond and I seized 21 of the crab pots from Gargant the Creek. All the pots were improperly marked, and 13 of them had severe call ring violations, either missing one call ring or obstructed. On Tuesday, June 14, 2016, at approximately 1,000 hours, Officer Drummond and I made contact with Mr. Johnson and his son at Mr. Johnson's residence. Mr. Johnson first denied the seized crab pots being his, even though there were several more of these pots stacked in the side yard with the same type of crab pots. Mr. Johnson then stated he and his son decided they wanted a mess of crab meats to eat. On Thursday, June 9, 2016, at approximately 1,900 hours, Mr. Johnson and his son Warren loaded 21 pots onto Mr. Johnson's small gray boat. Mr. Johnson later explained how he stacked so many crab pots on such a small boat. Mr. Johnson admitted to telling his son to remove the buoys, the ones that contained his MRCID number, from the pots and use the old spare buoys. Once the crab pots were loaded, Mr. Johnson drove his son and the boat to Gargant the Landing. Mr. Johnson left the area while his son set the crab pots. Mr. Johnson said he returned to Gargant the Landing around the edge of dark to retrieve his boat and son. Mr. Johnson also admitted to knowing his son needed a commercial card and a crab pot license and to knowing the pots were illegally marked. He also stated he didn't realize how many pots Warren was planning on using, even though he helped load them on his boat. On Saturday, June 11, 2016, at approximately 1,400 hours, Mr. Johnson said he drove Warren to Gargant the Landing, where the both of them left in his boat to work the 21 crab pots. Mr. Johnson said he did not pull any of the pots, but instead drove the boat while Warren fished the pots. The pots were not rebaited during this time, and Mr. Johnson said they had approximately 3/4 of a bushel of crabs, while his son later said they had about 2 bushel. Mr. Johnson went on to say he ate some of the crabs Saturday night, which would have been June 11, 2016, and Warren took the rest of the crabs to the beach.
Questions from the commission? Officer, I do have a question. When you said Mr. Johnston had told you that he ate some of the crabs and his son took the rest to the beach, what does that mean, taking them to the beach?
On the shore on a Sunday. I think he's 16 years old, so they would go out with friends to the beach, and they probably cooked him up out there.
Okay. All right, try again. Is Mr. Johnston in the room or represented by counsel? Any questions from the commission?
One question on my part.
Mr. Tankard.
You said severe coal ring violations. What do you mean by that?
By that, there was just no attempt to make. Sometimes you look at them and they're folded through. They're not the whole way. They're trying to do it right. These were obviously no attempt at all to make them right. They just grabbed crab pots, didn't even push some of them through. Some didn't have, they had one on one side, not one on the other. It was just a mix of bad violations.
Gotcha.
Officer Reedy, is there any evidence that these crab pots were fished for commercial purposes as opposed to the testimony that apparently Mr. Johnson and his son gave, which were for personal use?
There was nothing, in my opinion, that they were going towards commercial use.
There's nothing that would indicate they were for commercial use? Is that what you...
Correct. Okay. As far as that goes, I don't know what to say. It was 21 crab pots, and regarding his history, it's hard to tell.
It's an important legal distinction. So, okay. Oh, for the record, and I don't think you can answer this, but maybe Stephanie can. The son, Warren Johnson, did he have a commercial license and a crab pot license?
He did not.
He did not?
No.
Okay. So he didn't have a license to fish commercially, and he certainly didn't have a crab pot license at the time of the offense. We will keep this as part of the record. Any other questions from the commission? Oops. Thank you. Stephanie, what is the staff recommendation?
The staff recommendation, in accordance with Section 28.2-232 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends the commission revoke all of Mr. Johnson's commission-issued licenses for a period of 5 years from the date of this commission meeting, December 13, 2016, through December 12, 2021. Staff also recommends the commission prohibit the issuance, reissuance, and renewal of any of Mr. Johnson's licenses during the revocation period. Staff recommends the commission revoke Mr. Johnson's fishing privileges within the Commonwealth's tidal waters for a period of 5 years from the date of this commission meeting, December 13, 2016 through December 12, 2021. Staff recommends the commission take discretionary action concerning the potential of a civil penalty.
Yes. Okay. Mr. Hull.
Just one thing to note about the civil penalty. It's only available where there is evidence that they fished commercially while their licenses were revoked, and while his driving of the boat was fishing. Again, the officer's testimony is there was no evidence that the fish were used for commercial purposes. So I don't think the civil penalty would be assessable against Mr. Johnson.
Any questions from the commission?
Mr. Neal. I just want to see if I'm reading this. He actually spent 20 days in jail. Is that what I'm reading here? It says he was sentenced to 6 months, 20 days, with 6 months suspended.
Yes.
And he was either illegally commercially fishing or really, really illegally recreationally fishing.
Right.
Yeah. Either or. That's a statement. I guess that wasn't a question.
I'll note two things on the record. One is that his licenses and fishing privileges were revoked in the March meeting of this year, and this offense was 10 weeks later. so I'm not sure the revocation actually sunk in as something that was serious. At least that's my interpretation. And I'll also note for the record here is that Mr. Johnson has a long history of natural resource violations, in particular uncalled crabbing violations and other problems with IDs on pots and things like that, dating all the way back to 1998. In fact, he's had 16 convictions for these types of offenses since 2001. That takes some doing. Mr. Zeder.
Just for the record here, if you look at the abstract of the conviction from the court, he was given 6 months and 20 days of a sentence with 6 months suspended, and he was allowed to serve those on weekends.
Mm-hmm. This isn't the first case I'll note where fishing while revoked has resulted in jail time from judges. So we have the staff recommendation for revocation of his licenses entitled fishing privileges for 5 years. What's the commission's will?
Move to accept staff recommendation, minus any civil penalty.
Second. Motion by Mr. Neal, second by Mr. Erskine. Any discussion? Call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. Motion passes unanimously. Mr. Patrick Johnson's licenses and title fishing privileges are revoked for 5 years, effective today.
Thanks for listening.
Okay.
Next case is Mr. Brian West.
Brian West.
Is Mr. Brian West in the room? Is Mr. Brian West in the hallway?
Mr. West first appeared before the
commission. Before we do this, Chief Letterman?
Yes, sir. He called this morning about 9:30.
Yeah, would you step in front of the microphone just to make sure that it's all on the record?
He called this morning around 9:30 and said he had a funeral to attend and would not be here. I explained to him that possibly the commission could hear his case without him being present, and he said he understood that.
Okay, thank you, Chief. Does the commission want to proceed or postpone this? Anybody?
Yeah, I would proceed. We're here. The officer's here.
Officers are here. We're here. Commissioner Neal thinks we should move ahead. Should we move ahead?
I think so.
I see heads nodding. I don't see any heads saying no. We will proceed here.
Mr. Brian West first appeared before the commission as a natural resource offender during the February 2016 commission meeting. The commission decided to revoke his licenses and privileges under Section 28.2232 of Virginia Code for 1 year, February 23rd, 2016 through February 22nd, 2017, owing to taking oysters out of season.
Thank you, ma'am. Officer, let me swear you in. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? That would be a yes. Please state your name for the record here.
Charles William Hall.
Thank you, sir. What can you tell us about this case?
Yes, sir. The on May 18, 2016, myself and several officers from the middle area and the southern area were involved in a surveillance of the York River off of Roswell Plantation. At that time, we were seeing two vessels getting hooked to a net out towards the channel. One was the Southern Belle, was the one that was headed upriver with the hook to the Halsing. And the downriver vessel would be the Wild West. We observed the individuals as they turned into shore. The Southern Belle was the closest to our location. Coming into shore, there was two people outside the pilot house at the time that we could see through the binoculars. One of them I could see from going the front and the back, and also at the pilot house up on the gunnel outside the pilot house was I could identify as looking to be as David William West or William David West, and I had him prior to this offense on 5/11 also engaged in hall singing, but Mr. West was not involved, but that's how I was able to indicate that that was Mr. Brian West up on, not Brian West, but David West up on the gunnel from his, from looking through the binoculars and being able to identify his body type. And then it was a younger individual that was off towards the stern, and there was another individual but could not make him out inside the pilot house as the vessel had made its turn coming into shore, to the shoreline. As the vessel got closer to the shoreline, the vessel had made a slight turn, almost not parallel, but making its turn to be parallel with the shoreline. We could hear the other vessel because it has a different engine, and that engine was, you could tell he was having a hard time with trying to keep the hull saying and getting it into shore. They'd already made their approach and was already, you know, within, I would say, 50 yards of our locations. We could see fairly well of the vessel. At that time, Captain Green had took the binoculars and got to a position where he could see onto the vessel and see who was on the vessel. And because they had stepped, David West had stepped off the gunnel and the other one had stepped towards the pilot house, and then the individual that was operating the vessel came out to the back of the pilot house out onto the deck. He was able to look through binoculars and see Mr. West. Captain Green was able to see Mr. West, Brian West, at the talking, and then he ended up going to the controls on the starboard side as a controlling on the wheel and on the throttle. And as they started going parallel with the shore, drawing the net in, I was able to take, after he got identification of Mr. West, I came and got the binoculars, and I was able to see Mr. West at that time and get identification of him and get a clear identification of him, because I, through multiple dealings and talking with him on the docks and on the checking him out on the river.
To be clear, you're saying that you saw Brian West at the controls. Thank you, sir.
He was in the pilot house at the controls, and then he was by the controls and he got out. And he was on the cell phone also the whole time, and then turned, and then he was able to face me. At first he was back to me, and his controls was in front of him, but he was turned rear to me, and then he turned to the side. I got a side profile, body type, what he was wearing, and who. Then when he turned face to me, I could see definitely it was Brian West. After that, passed binoculars and then went to a my vehicle that had a small boat attached. We went out, took and launched the vessel, came up on the vessel. At that time, Mr. West was at the bow of the boat on the cell phone again and was saying obscenities towards BMRC and things of that nature. He was charged with being revoked. He was then, let's see, he had went to court on in General District and was convicted. He appealed the case to Circuit Court on 9/20/2016, and he was also found guilty in the appeal to Circuit Court.
Questions to the Commission?
So,
Mr. Packer.
So what you're saying is when you came upon Mr. West, he wasn't very agreeable.
No, and he was the other boat was also very, which we dealt with these same two boats prior to this, so that didn't make it any better to take and check them for a second time. And plus, they knew what we were, who that we've gotten information from someone because we've been out there twice, and then we end up getting him. And they knew that he is revoked, so they, and last time I think we got the slip, but we couldn't prove it, and this time we were able to identify him on the vessel.
Okay.
Other questions from the Commission? Okay. Mr. Hall, would you ask the question? I'm posing another one in a minute.
Yes. Do you have any indication that they were engaged in commercial fishing here?
They have been taken and engaged in the hall singing and taking the fish for market. One of the other days we gotten word that he'd actually been going to all the way to Wanchese. And that's all the way over off the James River to take and sell the fish. So they're going way out of their way to hide the fact that they're selling, even though it wasn't the individual that were in question, but it's still the same boat that's hauling the same.
You good? Yep. Yep. Officer Hall, let me ask a couple questions here, and it goes towards the attitude and behavior of Mr. West during these interactions. Is it fair to say Mr. West was not cooperative?
I would say he was cooperative in the, as far as towards me, not towards other officers that may be not present.
Were there things Mr. West said in your presence towards other officers?
Yes, sir.
Would you please tell us what some of those things might have been?
Not saying the full word, but like F your mammies, the MRC, different ones, in particular, talking about Captain Green, and then saying before we got back to, well, before he got, because we had to take him to the Mantry because everything was a little bit out of control out there with the other boats, so we didn't want any problems, so we brought him into the Mantry. He said he'd be done on the boat ride in, and he said by the time he got done that he can have time to go home and do something, you know, sexual nature to his wife. So that's
to whose wife?
Captain Green. So that's kind of what we've had to deal with both boats, not just this, not with just him, but there's other things also on both nights in which they primarily geared towards one person. Which
Officer Hall, did you hear that remark made by Mr. West towards Captain Green's wife yourself?
Yes.
You heard that yourself. Thank you, sir. Did you interpret that as a threat?
I took that as him trying to make an, another, basically say something derogatory towards him, because they seem to take him as, because of where, you know, he come from that background, that he's a traitor. And
him being Captain Green.
Being Captain Green, yes. So they seem to take that, and, you know, he's involved, but he's not the person directly involved with these people, but they seem to take and want to direct it all towards him, which is unfair to him. Especially when he's not there to defend himself and is not face to face.
Other questions from the commission? Thank you, officer.
Thank you, sir.
Stephanie, what is the staff recommendation in this case?
Staff recommendation in accordance with 28.2232 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends the commission revoke all Mr. West's commission issued licenses for a period of 5 years from the date of this commission meeting, December 13, 2016, through December 12, 2021. Staff also recommends the commission prohibit the issuance, reissuance, and renewal of any of Mr. West's licenses during the revocation period. Staff recommends the commission revoke Mr. West's fishing privileges within the Commonwealth's tidal waters for a period of 5 years from the date of this commission meeting, December 13, 2016, through December 12, 2021. Staff recommends the commission take discretionary action concerning the potential of a civil penalty.
What's the commission's wishes?
Just confirmation with council. Our maximum penalty would be 5 years revocation and tidal fishing privileges and $10,000 civil fine.
That's correct.
I make that motion.
That would be a motion for 5 years of revocation of licenses entitled fishing privileges and the maximum $10,000 civil penalty for fishing commercially while revoked. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Well, is there a second?
I'll second it.
Second by Mr. Zedron. Is there discussion on this? Mr. Erskine.
I don't know. I don't have any questions. I just have a comment. But, you know, it's one thing to make a mistake and have a violation. It's another thing to be a repeat offender of that violation. And it's an entirely different thing to be disrespectful to law enforcement and any of their family members, for that matter. So, you know, it's unfortunate, I guess, maybe that we only have the power or the ability to revoke somebody's license that probably shouldn't have that privilege, that we can't revoke it permanently, because obviously Mr. West has demonstrated that he doesn't have the ability to follow the law. So I'm in complete agreeance with the motion.
I'll note that I think the behavior towards the officers was full-blown abusive from my sense of things. You don't say those types of things. They're past offensive. To me, they borderline on a threat to commit sexual assault against a policeman's wife. I agree with the recommendation. I agree with the motion. Any other comments or discussion? Call the question. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. The motion passes unanimously. Mr. West's fishing privileges and licenses are revoked for 5 years effective today, and the civil penalty is levied at $10,000.
Next case is Mr. James F. Holloway, Jr.
Mr. Holloway. Please come forward, sir.
Members of the commission, chairman. I'm Elliot Schlosser, attorney. I represent Mr. Holloway. I also have with me Captain Hogg as a witness. I assume you'll want to swear.
I was just going to ask if your client's going to testify.
Yes.
Officer York, thank you. I need you to testify to be sworn in as well. So please raise your right hands. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Thank you.
What was the gentleman and attorney's name again?
I'm Elliot Schlosser, attorney. I'll leave a card with you.
Thank you, Mr. Schlosser.
I'll just introduce the case. Mr. Holloway was put on probation during the May 2015 commission meeting for 1 year, May 26, 2015 through May 25, 2016, for possession of 8 quarts of uncooled oysters.
Officer York. What can you tell us about this case?
Yes, sir. On September 18, 2015, myself, Officer Griffin, Officer Dyes, and Officer Stevens were on special assignment when approximately 0626 hours. We noticed Griffin and myself were in undercover capacity on our vessel watching the Lydell Lakes dredging for oysters in Public Rock in the James River while seasonal Public Rock harvest was closed. Officers Dyes and Stevens were called to intercept the Lydell H in a marked VMRC vessel. The Lydell H was intercepted before it could leave the Public Rock area of the James River. James Holloway and the other two individuals on the vessel, one being Mr. Hogg to the right, was escorted back to Mitchville Marina where 12 bushels of illegally harvested oysters were discovered in their possession aboard the Lydell H. James Holloway and the other two individuals on the vessel were taken to Newport News Jail and charged with the following felony and misdemeanor offenses. Of course, they're listed 282.523, 282.516, 182.95, 282.506. All those took place in the waters of the Commonwealth in concurrent jurisdiction with the City of Newport News.
I might have missed it. It did go to court?
Yes, I'm sorry. March 31st, 2016, Dearborn News Circuit Court, a plea agreement was reached, and he pled guilty to the amending charge of impeding oyster inspectors.
And the disposition of the case was?
Disposition of the case was court costs, $407, 12 months in jail, 12 months suspended on good behavior for 3 years.
Who was the captain of the ship?
Captain was Mr. Robert Hogg. Okay. Person standing to my right, coveralls and beard.
Okay. Questions from the commission? Mr. Tackert.
They give any reason why they were there?
They really didn't give me a reason.
No.
No. Really, and no reason they should be there, and they didn't give me a reason. When they were stopped, like I said, we're in undercover capacity. Stevens and Officer Stevens and Dyes. I can get a little more specific about the case if you'd like me to do that.
Sure.
I can do that. Okay. We were in undercover capacity. We were in a crab boat, Carolina skiff. We were watching them probably 50 yards, had binoculars. Went past the line of crab pots we were pulling, dropped the dredge, started doing the circles in the dredge, pulled it up, got their oysters. Mr. Hogg was under the boat. Mr. Hollowell and his brother was actually handling the dredge, not the hand scrape. Of course, season was closed. Can't have a dredge on the public bottom. We called for the patrol boat. Patrol boat come up. All of them turned. I can't say if they're looking. They saw it or not. But all of them turned toward the patrol boat. Dredge come up, slammed the dredge in the middle of the boat in the floor. And started heading away in a straight line. My understanding is that I didn't hear this. This is from Officer Dyson Stevens that...
Do you allow hearsay?
Yeah, I'm thinking we're going into uncharted territory, so to speak.
Yeah, that's why I'm hesitant.
Let's pass on that, officer. If you didn't hear it directly, I don't want to hear it.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Any other questions, Mr. Tackert?
Just to clarify here.
Once Stevens and I stopped the boat, they started coming back. We approached the boat. They saw who we were. We went back to the dock, and the legal process was continued at that point. Looking at the boat, during the search of the boat, the harvest tag was found, already filled out for the private area. Prior to them even getting there, after the oysters were harvested as well.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Mrs. Cowell.
Were they anywhere near the private ground that
they
should
probably
have been?
They were along. They were on this side of the river, and their ground was way on the other side of the river. There was no mistake.
Out to the James River, so we're talking several miles away.
Mile and a half, a couple miles, yes.
Like Mr. Erskine.
So along those lines, I guess, how did you all confirm that they were in that closed public area?
We pulled up to them with our GPS that is calibrated, and that we checked that morning. It was not calibrated, but verified. Also, we called and got it plotted, which we have a map and everything. It was plotted through our person here, and it was verified through that.
Thank you.
Mr. France.
So this was a closed area, or, I mean, it was closed at the time, but when it's open, is it a public hand scrape area?
Yes.
And so the gear was not proper
actually, it's hand-tong.
Hand-tong area?
Hand-tong area, yes.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
And for the record, did you testify this was dredge gear or not a hand scrape?
Yes, I did, in court.
So it's a dredge. It was dredge gear on board.
It was not a hand scrape. It was a big dredge for private. Okay.
For the record, dredge gear can only be used off of Tangier. This location was nowhere near Tangier.
He was using it in private.
Okay. Correct.
Yes, sir.
Any other questions from the commission?
I have one further question.
Mr. Tackert.
Again, a clarification. So when the VMRC was seen by the men on the boat,
they stopped the activity, both brothers.
cause and effect. It was
stopped, completely stopped, and that's what we were waiting to see. Completely stopped and started motoring away toward the ground.
Okay.
Any other questions from the commission?
No.
Counselor, you can ask the question of the officer, or you can testify directly, you can have your client testify, or go ahead.
They both will. Was my client totally cooperative with you?
Yes, he was.
And he's an employee on the boat, is that correct?
That's correct.
He is not the captain of the boat.
That's correct.
Now, you're aware of the fact that Captain Hogg is also here. And Captain Hogg has already been before the commission, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And he received a one-year suspension as the captain of the boat. Is that correct?
That's correct.
I don't have any further questions.
Okay.
Of him. I would point out, since the plea agreement has not been introduced, I assume you all have a copy of it. This charge was amended to a charge of impeding oyster inspectors. He was not convicted of any of the charges which lay the foundation for his appearance today, my client's appearance today, before you. Now, I understand you have the testimony of your officer, and I deal with Officer York all the time and have the utmost respect for him. He appears before our local courts constantly. But I point out to you that he was convicted of a charge and pled to a charge of impeding oyster inspectors. Now, if you're going to rely solely on the testimony of your officer as to facts giving rise to your authority to suspend license, irrespective of the plea in court, I think all the attorneys in this area need to be advised that their plea agreements are not going to suffice for purposes of appearance before the Marine Resources Commission. And it obviously is going to affect their desire to enter into plea agreements if those plea agreements are going to be superseded by the authority of the commission. But I just point that out. I'm prepared to have my client testify if you do not feel at this stage that you will essentially pass on your authority to the court when you have an executed plea agreement in the city of Newport News. And I ask you to make a decision on that before my clients testify. If you feel that you still have the authority to move forward, irrespective of the plea agreement, I'm prepared to have both of my clients testify.
Mr. Hall, that sounded like a legal question, and I am not an attorney.
You know, obviously, there was a plea agreement here, but the plea agreement did not discuss any sort of action on license revocation. That's solely the province of the commission. So the commission has the authority to revoke if it wants to. In this case, under 232, while it's true that the charge was amended, it is still an amended to a violation of a provision in the fishery subtitle. So it is still a charge that gives the commission the authority to revoke the licenses under 232. And you can also take the testimony about the other offenses as information about the nature of the offense, the harm that could have arisen from it, and weighing the length of the revocation period to impose.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, you go so act on his legal
thing. I think, Counselor, basically that means that pre-agreement does not obviate the commission's jurisdiction and authority when it comes to a license sanction. In my head, and I'm not a lawyer here, but if there's a serious driving offense, the courts decide that offense, and then the Department of Motor Vehicles decides whether or not the offender keeps a license.
They have certain
correct. So I think we've resolved that matter.
With that in mind, I have one further question.
Sure.
You're aware that my client has been piloting the Lydell H for a couple months.
Yes.
And you have stopped him on several occasions, and he has been totally within the law. And while he was the pilot of this boat,
that's correct.
He has not, as far as you're concerned, and of your knowledge, he has not done anything to violate the laws or the rules of the commission. Is that correct?
At the times I've inspected him since then, no, sir.
State your name, please.
Mr. Counselor, could we move all this in front of the microphone? The commission's meetings are audio taped here for the record. Please speak into the microphone, Mr. Holloway.
You're James Holloway?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You understand that you are before the commission with the and they have asked that your license be suspended for 2 years. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Have you ever performed any work other than as a waterman?
I spent 3 years in the Army when I was 17 to 20. Other than that, I've been working since I was 14.
So your livelihood is totally dependent and at the mercy of the commission today. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Now, you recognize that the commission also has a list of prior offenses over the course.
Yes, sir.
And it used to be that the commission levied a fine.
Right.
And you were able to prepay fines in advance.
Yes, sir.
And
I believe you still can.
Well, essentially at this point, I've pointed out several newspaper articles to you, right, and you're aware of the fact that the commission has come down very hard and very strong with respect to enforcement of the commission's rules and regulations at this point in time, are you not?
I'm aware.
And you're also aware that if the commission, in its mercy, determines that a minor suspension would be appropriate so as not to totally interfere with your livelihood,
2 years,
that if a minor suspension is appropriate and the commission determines that based on the precedent of the suspension of Captain Hogg's license to allow you to continue to pilot this boat, which is available to you,
yes,
you will cooperate fully and do everything you're supposed to do,
yes,
to
sir,
make sure you're not on public grounds or using improper tongs at any time that they are prohibited. Is that correct?
That's correct. Anytime I would have been in trouble, somebody else was the captain.
All right, sir. But at the same time, you took responsibility for your actions by pleading guilty in the court case to the reduced charge. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Used to be back when I was growing up, I remember my dad and my granddad buying license from the inspector's office of Berkins. You know what I mean? You could buy them, like, from now until the end of the year, you know, you call the inspector over there, and he writes you a license, and pay him $10 for one. But from then until y'all passed these new laws, you would get a ticket for something. You go shovel the oysters over, and you mail in your ticket. Because if you go to court, if you're found guilty, then it's a court cost. Unless you have to miss a day from work. It's a $75 ticket. Make you $200 a day. Mail the $75 and you go to work. We didn't go in front of the court and fight. You know what I mean? We didn't go I'm not saying that it would have all been won or whatever, but some of these offenses wouldn't be on my record if I had gone to court and fought. And if I would have known that the consequences were so dire when y'all changed these laws, I didn't know y'all changed them. I didn't understand. I didn't know when I got that ticket for the 8 courts that it was going against my license. I didn't have no idea. Well, I would have gone to Olive White and fought that. Now that I know they're so dire, you know, and now I have, I'm in charge of what oysters are being put out and stuff of that nature, you know, I can do something about it. But, or, you know, even go to court and fight it. But, you know, back in the day, all my life, we just, you can mail it.
Well, you want to be able to continue your livelihood.
Yes, sir.
And be a third generation warden.
I am a third generation warden.
Answer any questions.
Any questions from the commission? Mr. Zedron.
Mr. Howell, what was the plan that day when y'all left the dock?
The plan was to, go over to Mr. Hogg's ground and go to work. That was what the plan was.
How'd you
come across the high hill? That looks pretty good for shaft on season. It was September 18th. It was close to October. We made a few licks on there to see what it looked like. It looked really good.
You say you're the captain of the boat on different times, so you know where you're.
Just now, sir.
Just now.
He's saying now.
Okay.
He never was in the past.
Is it your testimony that you didn't know that that was private, that was public ground?
I didn't know it was public ground, but it wasn't my choice.
Did you realize you were on probation from that other hearing in this?
I didn't know I was on probation yet.
Did you tell Mr. Hogg, look, man, I can't do this. I'm on probation.
We talked about it.
What did he say?
I don't remember. I don't remember what was said.
I'm going to call him as a witness in just a minute. You'll have the opportunity to ask that question. All right.
Thank you.
Mrs. Kellen.
Were there oyster tongs on board or just an oyster dredge?
And it was a hand scrape. They confiscated it. I mean, you can call down there, and it was a hand scrape because the hand scrape is better than any kind of big dredge that we had. It had a bigger bag in it, you know, for the ground that we were working. You know? So it was a hand scrape. It wasn't an oyster dredge.
Follow it.
Can I follow up with law enforcement?
Mrs. Cullen.
Can you confirm whether or not it was a scrape versus a dredge?
I would have to go over the notes and look. I took a picture of it. And we did, yeah.
They took pictures of
it. But at this point, whether it was a hand scrape or a dredge,
right.
Not supposed to be.
Right. Understand.
Right. Mr. Erskine.
Mr. Holloway, what other licenses do you hold?
Just enough stuff to go oyster, sir. I hold the user fee, hand tong license, and a dredge license. And that's it at this moment. You know, years ago, I used to clam a gill mad fish back when there wasn't any oysters. You know, I clammed most of those years. I was a gill mad fish.
Ms. Erskine.
As a follow-up, so you still hold those licenses, gill net license, or you don't?
No, sir,
okay.
No,
only
no,
oyster,
no,
license.
Oyster license.
All right, thank you.
Other questions from the commission?
I have a comment question. Do you realize the position you put us in that you were already on probation, and then you're convicted of another marine resources violation, and we're kind of, where do we go from here? I mean, we already got you on probation, so what next?
Don't have this law. If I'm on the boat, I get a ticket. I don't agree with what the boat's doing. I can go sit in the cabin, I'll still get a ticket. I can be towed behind on an inner tube, I'll still get a ticket. You can't get out and walk home. So, I mean, it's just got to go, you got to go along with it. And, I mean, I don't know if that helps your position in here or not. But, you know.
No, it does not. It's not a position
we
like being in.
I do understand it's a tight spot, but circumstances have changed now enough. You know, if you
have
to reinstate my probation, I promise you'll never see me
again. Call Mr. Hall.
Hold on a second. We still have a couple of questions. Mr. Tankard.
So, I think you said the same thing when we put you on probation. You'll never see me again. My question is, didn't you understand what probation meant when we put you on probation?
Yes, sir. I understand what probation is. Mercy of the boat.
Follow-up. Yes, you have to work. But if you violate your probation, you do understand you would not work again, correct?
I understood that. for a break on.
Mr. Holloway, I have a question. So that day, Captain Hogg was the captain.
Yes.
What was your job?
My job was cold.
Who worked the gear?
Huh?
Who worked the gear?
Captain Hogg.
You didn't touch the gear?
Nope.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Erskine.
How long had you been fishing with Captain Hogg?
We've worked off and on for 6 or 7 years.
Follow up, Mr. Erskine.
Sir. So you've been with him in other oyster seasons, and this has not happened in the past?
Right.
So this was the first time with Captain Hogg. Thank you.
Mr. Ballett.
Question for the officer. At any point did Mr. Holloway, when you made contact with him, state that he wasn't working, was in the cabin, and was...
No, sir.
Okay. Any other questions from the commission? Okay, Counselor, call your next witness. Mr. Hawk, please step in front of the microphone.
State your name, please. My name
is Robert Hall, captain of the Lydell Leach.
All right, sir. And how long have you owned this boat?
I've owned it for about 10 years.
And Mr. Holloway was working for you on the occasion when this incident occurred. Is that correct?
Yes, he was.
Okay. Now, you've heard testimony relative to the type of dredge that was used. What type of tongs?
It was a standard 22-inch hand spray.
All right, sir. And then any question in your mind about what it was?
No question in my mind.
You understand, because you have pled guilty both before the court and the commission to the facts of this case, and you understand what happened, do you not?
Yes, I do.
Did Mr. Holloway have any choice in terms of what he did or didn't do on that
gentlemen,
occasion?
When we left the creek that day, we left late. Okay, went across there. I seen that lump. We worked there the first day of oyster season. They come to us. I took a sample. I should have raked them back overboard. I didn't. I put them in the boat. That was my mistake. We were all drinking when we left the creek and everything. That's no excuse either. But I don't feel that he needs to lose his license for 2 years. That's ridiculous. It was my fault. If anybody should have lost theirs for two, it should have been me. Okay. He'd sit there and say, y'all would say, well, he could have got off the boat. No, he didn't. And it wasn't that long. It couldn't have been no more than 5 or 6 minutes if we were there. It was 2, 3, 4, 5 licks, and we were gone. Okay? Nobody put nothing down. Nobody ran. We just took and went on. I should have raked back over. And if the other two officers were here, they would have told you there was stuff in the floor that when I took and they come to us, I shoveled it all in the box. It was rough cut. I mean, I take responsibility. I went and played guilty. And like I said, when I told y'all last time I was here, I stand a chance of getting 20 years in penitentiary if I don't go through 2 more years of probation on this charge. Okay? Should have been all on me.
Mr. Zedron.
Did you know he was on probation?
No, sir, I did not. If I would have, I would have even took him on the boat that day. Because I really wasn't planning on it. But when I took and went across there, it was just one of those things. We did it, shouldn't have. If I could take it back, I would. Can't do that either.
Mr. France.
Mr. Hogg, did you know the position that Mr. Holloway was being put in?
Sir, I didn't think about it at the time. Like I said, we've been drinking. You know what I mean? Me, him, and Tim. And he'll tell you when he went to court, if y'all took and sit there that day, he smelled like alcohol. They even had to give him something for his alcohol because he...
I have a question for the officer.
Well, 1 second, Mr. France. Let me follow that up, and then I'll throw it back to you. You're drinking that day, that morning?
Yes, sir.
May 18th of 2015?
Dude, when we sit there, sometimes, Mr. Bull, I'm not saying this out of thing, but you got people that come down there, they start drinking at 3 o'clock in the morning. And they go out in the river at 3 o'clock in the morning. They carry a filthy liquor with them and a cooler full of beer.
Okay, because that was my question here, because according to this occurred at 6:26 a.m.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And we were drinking.
Don't mean to correct, but I think it's September 18th. That's a typo.
Correct. Mr. Hall corrected me. It was correct. It was a typo. It was September 18th, 2015. Back to you, Mr. France. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. My question is for the officer. How long did you observe the boat in this spot?
10, 12 minutes.
And I don't know if you know or not. Were they there? Was that the spot they stopped at first thing in the morning?
Yes,
and
sir.
They hadn't been anywhere else.
We observed them come right straight out of the creek, come right straight past us, past the crab line we were supposedly working, and they stopped.
Okay. And
from the time they stopped, once the patrol boat came through, they hadn't been anywhere else.
And as you stated, they had already filled the oyster ticket out.
Yes.
And did they have the location where these oysters were caught on the ticket?
Yes, on somebody else's ground across the river.
Thank you.
In response to his question, you don't know who filled this ticket out, do you? In other words, normally the captain would fill the ticket out. Would he not? Would he not? I mean, the employee wouldn't have any authority to deal with that.
No,
would
Captain takes care of that.
And in response, you would fill the ticket out, would you not?
Yes, sir. And we usually fill it out when we go to the ground. You know what I mean? You're supposed to fill it out before you leave the creek. That's what Mike Morris told us. And that's where we've always filled it out. But we've gotten tickets for that. George Marshall got a ticket for it. Who else? Danny West, he got a ticket for it, too. Not having that ticket filled out. He said you're supposed to fill it out before you leave the dock. I had no intentions of stealing anything from the state. I should have rolled them back over just a little. But I did. I took them, and we're going to put them back over.
It was just a little. It was 12 bushels.
Yeah, but that ain't nothing to see those. Like you said, it wasn't but taking 4, 5, or 6 licks, all it was 10, 12 minutes.
Mr. Tacker?
So this is a normal dead rise. You've got a house up front, right?
Yes, sir.
So he could have gone, Mr. Hollowell, if he didn't want to participate, he could have gone up to the front.
Yes, I guess he could have.
Okay.
Any other questions from the commission?
I have a question in response to his question. Issue has come up. If he'd even been in on an inner tube behind the boat, he still could have been charged under your regulations. The extent of his participation was as an employee. If he was on an inner tube behind the boat, he still could have been charged with these offenses.
I kind of find that problematic in that there would have been no commercial fishing activity if you're on an inner tube.
But if the others had been doing what has been alleged, it still would have been there, and they'd have been would have been in violation. But so, basically, I think you've heard the evidence. We're asking for your mercy. The testimony, even from the officer, is that he was totally cooperative with him. That he stopped him a couple times already. As the pilot of the boat, he's shown no inclination to violate any additional terms. I mean, obviously, you can suspend what you feel appropriate, but I would ask if you're going to suspend, please don't consider suspending his license as an employee for more than the term that you've given to the pilot, who is an owner of the boat, who's taken full responsibility for it. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Iverson, what is the staff recommendation in this case?
Staff recommendation, the commission's guidelines for sanctions specify that if a person put on a probation by the commission fails to obey any of the laws or regulations relating to the marine resources of the Commonwealth during their probationary period, it should result in an appearance before the commission for a hearing on license revocations. In accordance with Section 28.2-232 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends the commission revoke all Mr. Holloway's commission-issued licenses for a period of 2 years, from the date of this commission meeting, December 13, 2016, through December 12, 2018. Staff also recommends the commission prohibit the issuance, reissuance, and renewal of any of Mr. Holloway's licenses during this revocation period. Staff recommends the commission revoke Mr. Holloway's fishing privileges within the Commonwealth's tidal waters for a period of 2 years from the date of this commission meeting, December 13, 2016, through December 12, 2018. Staff also recommends the commission place Mr. Holloway on probation for a period of 2 years immediately following this revocation period, December 13, 2018, through December 12, 2020. Any failure on Mr. Holloway's part to obey any of the laws or regulations relating to the marine resources of the Commonwealth during the 2 years probation would result in Mr. Holloway appearing before the commission for another hearing on license revocation.
Okay, you've heard the testimony, you heard the staff recommendation. What is the commission's will? Mr. Cedron?
You know, it is a difficult position that he puts us in. And you know, I asked him the question. I said, did you understand what, you know, when you were put on probation back earlier, did you understand what that meant? And he said, yes, I understood that meant. But then the story comes out, but I had to work. And I don't think it was a mistake. I think he has to work. And you know, as he's testified, it's all he's done all his life. And he has to work. And so that means, well, you guys, too bad. I'm going to work. And you know, and he got caught. And I think we can't do that. Well, I mean, he's on probation. We can't just resuspend it. We got to take some action here to send out to the people that do understand probation and are not willing to violate it what we're going to do. And so I'm inclined to follow staff recommendation. Listen to everybody else.
Mr. Ballard?
I agree with most of those thoughts. In every case and every defendant is unique, but I still am hung up on the fact that the captain of the boat was suspended for a year. And while I get there are different cases, different histories, I'm more inclined to probably go with a one-year suspension in this scenario.
Mr. Tanker.
Yeah, I can see what the commissioner's saying there. However, the problem is that this man, Mr. Holloway, was on probation. The captain wasn't on probation. And so I think that's why we're seeing the difference in what we've done as a result of this one incident. So I have a tendency to think, you're on probation. You need to be crossing your I's, dotting your T's, not jumping in with it. Somebody's going to mess you up.
I don't make one comment.
One second, please. Mr. Erskine.
So I'd agree with what Mr. Neal said in the beginning, and that's that you put this board in a very difficult position, knowing yourself you're on probation. And I understand you don't have really much else to do. That's your profession, that's your livelihood, and you don't have anywhere else to go once you're on the boat. However, I think maybe what we could do in this case is levy the suspension, which I think is warranted, since you knew what you were doing, and it was the wrong thing to do when you were on probation, but possibly extend the probationary period. If now you understand what actually the probationary period means, you'll take it possibly more seriously.
Before it just says on the paper that I've come before the board again. It didn't say I'm going to lose my license for 2 days.
So I think you understand where we are. So if we look at this as a 2-year suspension is a little bit too much, or maybe it's warranted, but we might be able to make that up with a further probationary period. So I'd be inclined to do a 1-year suspension with a 3-year probation.
Second. Counselor, you had a thought.
The only thought that I would make is this. I represent criminal clients every single day before the court. Clients are placed on probation. That doesn't mean because they're under a 20-year probation that when I come before the court is going to revoke all 20 years. It doesn't happen. The court may revoke 6 months. if you're going to operate like a court would operate, I think you have to consider each party's circumstances and make a decision based upon what's fair, equitable, and deal with the circumstances of each individual. He knows the pressure he's under, and certainly by extending the probationary period, and the court always does this, if a person comes up for probation, the probation begins as of the date of the revocation hearing. That means that probation is continued. If the man is on 20 years of probation, it continues for 20 years from the date of the first revocation hearing. I've handled cases where a party has come before the court for revocation hearings multiple times, and each time the court feels like a reasonable jail sentence. It may best be 6 months, 3 months, or whatever.
Yeah, we're not talking about jail sentences.
I understand that. The power is totally within this commission.
That's the power.
And we recognize.
The power and the authority that's granted to this board per the Code of Virginia.
I understand.
So, moving back to the discussion here that Mr. Erskine seemed to be pushing forward here, I'll tell you, I agree with everything I've heard here, and I think there might be a way to kind of meld it a bit. I'll note that we, as general policy, hold captains more responsible than mates. I think that is the right policy. That said, what separates Mr. Hollowell from that is that he was on probation in that time, so I agree. A license suspension period is absolutely warranted in this case. So in my way of thinking, it's the question of for how long and what kind of tether we put on Mr. Hollowell for a probationary period afterwards. I would not support the staff recommendation for a 2-year revocation period in that I think is a little bit too much for a mate. That the captain gets a year suspension and the mate gets 2-year suspension, even while probation seems to be, to me, a little much. So I think there's probably somewhere around a year in that neck of the woods here that I would support. Anyone else want to jump in? Mr. Erskine?
I don't know if I made a motion or not, but I'll make it now for a 1-year revocation followed by a 3-year probation period.
Second.
Mr. Cullen was louder.
Closer.
So that's a motion by Mr. Erskine to put Mr. Holloway to suspend his license.
For 1 year.
Tidal fishing privileges as well or not?
Yes, as recommended by staff, I'm taking it instead of a 2-year revocation, a 1-year revocation followed by a longer probationary period.
All right.
Is that 3 years probation?
Yes, ma'am.
Agreed.
And the seconder agrees to the clarification. Correct. So that's a motion and a second to suspend Mr. Holloway's licenses and tidal fishing privileges for 1 year effective today, as well as his tidal fishing privileges for 1 year followed by 3 years of probation. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Everybody understands the motion. We want to have a further discussion on the motion. Any substitute motions? I'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes?
No.
No by Mr. Tankard? Chair votes aye as well here. So the motion passes 7-1.
Thank you.
Thank you. Counselor, that was a good job on your part. Good luck, Mr. Holloway.
Thank you.
If you go with the chief, he'll give you a letter explaining your appeal rights.
Next case is Mr. Mark S. Pruitt.
Is Mr. Mark S. Pruitt in the room? Please come forward, Mr. Pruitt. Please raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes.
Please step in front of the microphone and state your name for the record.
Mark
Chester Pruitt.
Thank you, sir. Please step back just a minute. Ms. Iverson.
All right, Mr. Pruitt, this is his first time appearing before the commission. These are the new convictions. These are the convictions for today, so this is his first appearance before the commission.
Please speak up just a little bit, please.
This is his first appearance before the commission.
Thank you.
He wasn't here before on a previous case.
Officers. Officer Drummond, are you going to be testifying?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let me swear you in. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Please state your name for the record. Please state your name for the record, both of you.
David Drummond.
Marshall Reedy.
Terrific, thank you. Officer Reedy, please proceed.
This offense occurred Wednesday, July 29, 2015, on Craddock Creek in Accomack County, Virginia. During a routine patrol on Craddock Creek, I conducted 6 crab pot inspections. The crab pot buoys were marked with an MRC ID number C0232, which is assigned to Mark S. Pruitt, Sr. to my right. 5 of the 6 crab pots inspected had obstructed coal rings. Regulation 4 VAC 20700 TEC 20 states it shall be unlawful for any person to place set or fish in a crab pot in any Virginia waters except as described in Section A of this section that does not contain at least 2 unobstructed coal rings. 2 coal rings shall be at least 2 3/8 inches inside diameter and shall be located 1 each in opposite exterior side panels of the upper chamber of the pot. And Mr. Pruitt is, I've talked to him many times, he's always been cooperative.
Any questions from the commission?
Yeah, I got one.
Mr. Zedrin?
How were these coal rings obstructed?
How were they obstructed? The wires just down, they just weren't fully open.
Is that something that just happens or from the use or was somebody pull that down or what?
It's hard to tell. I can't speak for that. Sometimes they could come down, I guess, with working them occasionally, or they could intentionally be put down, but I can't speak for that, sir.
And what is the purpose of the coal rings?
Just to regulate the small ones getting into the size of the crab.
Does that kind of go with then having uncalled crabs?
Yeah, yes, sir.
Okay, thanks.
To clarify, the coal rings are escape rings. They let the small crabs out. Right.
And then you have a bushel of uncalled crabs.
Correct. The crabs are quite cannibalistic, so the little crabs flee as soon as a bigger crab gets in the pot, if they can escape. Mr. France, you had your hand up.
Yeah, officer, the pots that you checked, were the coal rings obstructed on both ends usually, or is it just one on one side?
I do not recall, but usually they're here or there. There's not really usually a consistency to it.
Thank you.
Any other questions, Mr. Erskine?
Officer, was the wire actually cut or was it uncut?
No, when they put the coal rings in, they'll cut the wire and bend the wire up around keep the coal rings in. Some people use the links and link them around, and then what that wire can, you know, sometimes they'll put them straight out, which as long as you can see through the coal ring is legal. They just don't bend them the whole way around.
All right, thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you, Officer. Officer Drummond?
My offense is for June 11, 2016, for possession of uncalled crabs, 25 and 1 bushel, under Virginia Code 282-708, Code of Virginia. This offense occurred on Saturday, June 11, 2016, at approximately 12 p.m. in Accomack County. That should be Northampton County. But I was at Morley's Wharf where I inspected Mr. Mark Pruitt's crabs. He's standing to my right. Mr. Pruitt brings his crabs to Morley's Wharf where he meets his buyer. The truck comes right there. It's actually a public boat ramp, but the truck does meet several crabbers there to pick up their crabs. I measured 1 U.S. standard bushel of Mr. Pruitt's crabs. This bushel contained 25 undersized male hard blue crabs measuring less than 5 inches from tip to tip of their longest spikes. When I asked Mr. Pruitt about it and showed him the crabs, he said he had eyeballed them. He did not have his mate with him that day, so kind of doing everything by himself. He more or less had looked at them, but didn't necessarily put a stick on all of them. On July the 26th, 2016, in Northampton County General District Court, Mr. Pruitt was found guilty in his absence. He did not appear. He received a fine of $150 plus $126 court costs. He was cooperative.
Any questions from the commission? Thank you, sir. Mr. Pruitt, please step forward in front of the microphone. I guess the first question at hand here is what happened?
Well, I had two call rings open and the call ring there, but they were the wrong two. So the other two were closed, and evidently the wrong ones were open. I was guilty of that, so, and the crabs, I was guilty of that also. But, I mean, like you said, I eyeballed them. I didn't take the stick time to measure them because I was by myself. If you have bad weather blowing or, you know, your boat's moving around, you got to hurry up, get back to the controls and get going. You can't be sitting there killing crabs. Especially when you work by, if you're working by yourself, that is.
Do you know why we have this regulation about possession of small crabs and uncalled crabs?
I know that, but like I said, I was trying to keep on working.
I ask that because this isn't your first encounter. Well, it might be your first encounter here, but it's not your first encounter with a summons for obstructed call rings or uncalled crabs. So I'm wondering if you know why it. I want an assurance that you understand why that this is meaningful. Okay.
Well, like I'm saying, I'm going to refer to what the other guy said, Mr. Holloway, a while ago. Or years ago, you caught, they took it, go on, you bite your business. But now it's more serious, so I've come under that vision that you got to watch yourself.
Questions from the commission? I guess, Mr. Pruitt, let me ask you a leading question. My guess is the commission will feel a little bit better about things here if you can give them some pretty good assurances that this isn't going to happen again.
I hope it doesn't. I'm going to try my best. I'm not going to. I'm going to use a stick.
Make sure those call rings.
Okay. Yeah, that was a mistake.
Ms. Iverson, what's the staff recommendation in this case?
Mr. Pruitt's report here because he had two convictions within a 24-month period, the one for the possession of more than 20 crabs per bushel, and then the one for the obstructed callings. That's the reason why he was propelled before the commission. Those two convictions within the 24-month period automatically report to the commission. So the staff recommendation, the commission's guidelines for sanctions specify that two convictions of possession of greater than 20 undersized crabs per bushel within a 24-month period should result in at least a two-year probation. The commission guidelines also specify that two convictions of obstructed coal rings within a 24-month period should result in at least a two-year probation. In accordance with Section 28.2232 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends the commission place Mr. Pruitt on probation for a period of 2 years from the date of this commission meeting, December 13, 2016, through December 12, 2018. Any failure on Mr. Pruitt's part to obey any of the laws or regulations relating to the marine resources of the Commonwealth during the two-year probation would result in Mr. Pruitt appearing before the commission for a hearing on license revocation.
Can I ask Mr. Pruitt a question?
You certainly may, Mr. France.
Mr. Pruitt, you stated that you had the wrong call rings open. Can you explain that, please? You had more than two call rings in your pot?
I have four.
Four.
Please step in front of the microphone. Thank you, sir.
I have four.
And could you explain that to us, please?
Well, there's two you use on the seaside. The two big ones you have to have open on the bay. I was on the bay, and I had the two small ones closed for the seaside.
Okay, I understand.
I mean, I had them open, but I had the bay ones closed. Right. I was on the bay. or a tributary, a creek.
Okay, I understand. Thank you.
Matters before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Erskine.
Well, Mr. Pruitt, I appreciate your testimony and your honesty that you have some violations here and you understand the reason, you know, that we have these laws in place. This commission, you know, takes a lot of pride in these fisheries, and you all do as licensees to harvest them, and particular to crabs and oysters, it's pretty important fisheries, and we take it seriously as well. In light of that, I'd make a motion to accept staff recommendation for a 2-year probation period.
Second.
It's a motion by Mr. Erskine and a second by Mr. France. Any discussion on that?
Just the comment that you've already made, really, that then I think you understand, and we don't want to see you again. Okay. And it's not like paying $100 fine, because in this next 2 years you could lose your license. Okay. That was it.
Yeah, Mr. Pruitt, you seem like a stand-up guy. Yeah, dot the I's, cross the T's, get through the probationary period, you're good. We're good. We don't want to see you back here. Call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. 2 years of probation, Mr. Pruitt. The old ways, got to give away the new ways.
Sir, I'll flip this out and I'll learn.
Life is a never-ending learning process.
He looks pretty good for 67, doesn't he?
Thank you. If you go with the officer, they'll give you a letter that explains your appeal rights in case you feel terribly offended about a probationary period and you want to go to court. Okay. Thanks, sir. Happy holidays.
Thank you.